Good morning. Welcome to the Up and Running Morning Show on 98.1 KZE. I'm Rick, your host. That was the Paul Winter Consort, one of my favorite albums, the Icarus album. The entire collection is superb. I've seen Paul Winter in concert numerous times, from St. Anne's Church for solstice sunrise events to playing at the Poughkeepsie Day School and so many other unusual places. And he's going to be showing up with Nexus, a special guest with Steve Reich and Enrique Eisenman. And joining us now live in the studio is our friend and neighbor, Gary Kvistad. Good morning, Gary.
Hi, Rick. So good to be here.
It's great to have you back. Yeah, it's been a little while. I haven't seen you since long past the pandemic.
Yep. That kind of closed things down for a while. We stopped playing for a couple of years and then started up again last year.
Mm. Last year you did a bunch of shows. And how is it going on, and well, why are you calling it the end?
The group Nexus was formed in 1971 by five classically trained percussionists who loved to improvise, and one visual artist who was a really great drummer of found objects. Huh. And so their first concert was at Eastman School in Rochester, and it was a two-hour concert of totally improvised music, filled the stage with hundreds of percussion instruments. And kind of the reason for this all happening is because percussionists know their instruments really well, and there's literally thousands of percussion instruments in the world of different types. So composers generally have been writing for the standard stuff, you know, timpani, xylophone, snare drum, or in a pop group, it would be a drum set.
Yeah.
But beyond that, you know, nobody knows what a dabachi is or, you know, a cuica. So we pull these instruments out, fill up a stage, and improvise. But then after a couple of years, Nexus got into some African music that they had studied at Wesleyan, and with some really great African performers, and got into ragtime music. We play a bunch of tunes by George Hamilton Green, who finally ended up in the artist cemetery in Woodstock, even though he was a rock star in the 20s down in the village. So Nexus, 52 years. And so, you know, it's being billed as a farewell tour. And I hope it's the first of many. Like The Who.
Or Bob Dylan's never-ending farewell tour.
Right.
Well, we're really excited for the event. It's happening at the Bardavon September 23rd. It's an 8 o'clock show, bardavon.org, for tickets and further information. Gary, what got you involved in your love for percussion?
Well, that goes back to the fourth grade. How much time do we have? So I got into the band, and my older brother, who's Rick, is 6 years older than I am, and I saw him play drum set with rock and roll groups and jazz groups, and I noticed he attracted the attention of the young girls, and I thought, okay, this is the way to go.
So I'm tired of being lonely.
So we took different routes as far as percussion, but we started a percussion group at the same time as Nexus called the Black Earth Percussion Group. We stayed together for 7 years, and then my wife Diane and I moved to Woodstock. But I've always had an affinity to percussion, and kind of my life goal is to support the efforts of percussion and percussionists. We put together a festival called the Drum Boogie Festival. We did 6 of those all-day events with Jack DeJohnette, Nexus, Paul Winter, Steve Gorn. I mean, on of great musicians from all over the world. But I try to promote percussion because it's so little known about it, the oldest instrument in the world.
True. I guess people started making sounds percussion-wise, I guess, how long ago? Before cavemen.
It's definitely prehistoric, right?
Well, the last time you were here was a couple of years back, and you brought in some really interesting toys, percussion instruments. They were toys, more or less. You sold them at Woodstock Chimes. They were plastic tubes that were all tuned, and you can hit them, play them. And
oh, you remember, yeah.
I do.
Yeah, we used to sell them locally at our store called Anyone Can Whistle.
Yeah.
We had that going for, what, 9 years or so, and then we realized...
And that was in Uptown Kingston.
Right, right. And West Hurley, we had a place there as well, yeah. But... you know, we realized that retail is like a whole new world and so much effort and specialized talent. And we thought, you know, let's stick with the wholesale. So a lot of the instruments we sold at Anyone Can Whistle, we brought in and started wholesaling them as part of our offering.
Well, all kinds of cool instruments you definitely promote and put in the hands of people to try them. I mean, that's half of the thing, is to look at it is one thing, but to play it and hear it is a whole nother world when it comes to percussion instruments.
Yeah.
So what can you recommend to anyone thinking of starting out playing percussion? Where should they start?
First, you need to get a loan.
No, come on. I started when I was 3.
Pots and pans. That's absolutely.
Wooden spoons. Bam, bam.
Found objects. John Cage taught us that brake drums and springs from cars are valid instruments, and they sure are. So I must have 5,000 instruments in my collection.
Wow.
Going from like a tiny, tiny cowbell to a giant band organ from Wurlitzer.
Wow.
And they all are related in a certain way, is that they're musical, but they're also unique sounds. Percussionists, whenever they play, they're always soloists. Mm. Like a bass drum player is the only person playing that note in the whole orchestra, right? So it's very, very specialized, and it's fun. My brother used to play in the San Francisco Opera for 42 years, and bass drum was one of his instruments, and he called it stressful boredom because he'd hit a note and wait for like an hour and a half to hit the next one. But if he missed that note, man, he was out.
It's all about the timing.
But, you know, drumming is fun, and, you know, you could... anybody can hit a drum and make a sound and play a rhythm. You know, drum circles are all over the country. Yeah. They're a lot of fun. And, of course, there's the big one in Woodstock on Sundays.
I've discovered, as being a member of the community, that they only play one song. Now, why is that?
It's a variation. I think it's our culture. Xenia, our Awe drummer, teacher from Ghana, we took him to a concert in Boston of the Boston Symphony. And after the concert, we said, "What'd you think?" He said, "It was really beautiful, but why did they play the same piece over and over again?" So it just depends on what you're used to hearing, right?
Yeah. The Woodstock Drum Circle. Yeah, I heard the song last week.
Yeah, right, right. I know that one.
Yeah. I'm going to bring my kazoo and really shake it up.
But you know, you can go from like an absolute novice and play drums all the way through, you know, like being a Steve Gadd or a Jack DeJohnette on drum set, or, you know, Bob Becker from our group on xylophone.
What Nexus does is no comparison to a drum circle. And I'm just saying that in a really great, gracious way. I mean, drum circles are special in their own way. But what you do is you use precision and timing to your ability, which is super beyond most normal mortals. So, like when you play improvisational percussion music, how do you know where the one is, or how do you know where the rhythm is going, or do you just take over one of the percussion instruments and guide the direction? Please explain.
There's no ones. And every beat is a one, so it's a very zen kind of mood.
Yeah, come in on the one.
Yeah, where's the downbeat? But yeah, we're going to play a piece by Steve Reich that he wrote in the early 70s that Russell Hartenberger in our group was there when Steve was creating it. Mm. And it was based on a bell pattern from Ghana. And it's the whole piece is an hour long. We're doing part one, which is eight bongo drums.
Wow.
He does this process called phasing. So two players start off in unison playing the same rhythm, and one speeds up very slightly until it becomes chaotic, and then it locks into the next eighth note and becomes what we call a canon, you know, like a row, row, row your boat. Yeah. And really, really unique stuff.
It follows it. So.
Right, right, right. And what starts off as a downbeat becomes an offbeat. And the ambiguity of rhythm is a beautiful thing. You know, it's like if you're always thinking of a backbeat the whole time, then you're locked into that.
Yeah.
But you could morph back and forth with a lot of this other music and hear things you've never heard before. And we've been playing Steve's music for 50 years now with Steve.
Yeah.
And I'm still hearing new stuff, which is both exciting and scary.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine because keeping a direction of music and going forward, you can definitely have the pattern that you've already created, and then taking it to the next step or level must be where the telepathic communication comes in.
Mm. Yeah, well, also 52 years of playing in Nexus together is
that's
telepathic and just, yeah, I know what these guys are thinking, and that's also scary.
Yeah. So out of all the thousands of percussion instruments and instruments that you own, I'm going to ask you this hard question.
Yes.
What is your favorite?
Wow. That... It's like saying...
I know, it's like naming your favorite child.
Right, right. Well, I have to say, I have an affinity toward gongs.
Huh.
And I think most people call them tam-tams. But a gong is a tam-tam with an embossed center, which gives it a definite pitch. And the really beautiful ones are made in Java, Indonesia. In fact, Paul Winter bought a dozen of these giant gongs. They're like maybe 40 inches in diameter. And I acquired two of them from Paul. Wow. And I also have Balinese gamelan orchestras right here at Bard College. That's a Balinese ensemble of percussion. And all of those instruments are fantastic. My training at the Oberlin Conservatory, if I may, was timpani. I studied timpani with the timpanist from the Cleveland Orchestra, Clay Duff. And so that, I definitely have an affinity toward timpani. Yeah. I play with the Northern Dutchess Symphony Orchestra. I play timpani. We give a lot of concerts here in Rhinebeck and also down at the CIA. That's the culinary, not the other one.
Well, with that being said,
yeah.
What do you play in Nexus primarily?
We have to play everything.
Okay.
Yeah. From clapping our hands to playing xylophone and marimba. But we also have a lot of unusual instruments. I brought a couple of them here. We're going to fill the stage at the Bardavan, and it's a pretty big stage.
Yeah.
I say hundreds, but you know, it might be a bit of a hyperbole, but there'll be enough instruments to fill up every space. Like I said, we're going to play. We have an African style Amadinda marimba we're going to play on. And Paul Winter was credited with making the Western world, at least in the United States, aware of this music from Uganda. It's really beautiful. We're going to play some of that. And we're going to play ragtime music. The group is known for kind of bringing back novelty ragtime xylophone music in the 70s.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now, looking over the program, which you shared with me, which I won't blab it, but there's something that involves clapping. So
yes.
Just explain that one. And of course, there'll be audience participation or no?
Well, hopefully they'll clap, yes, but not during the pieces.
Gotcha.
There is that piece by Steve Reich, a seminal piece of his called Clapping Music. He wrote in the 70s. Mm. And it's a result of the group playing in Amsterdam. Actually, it was Brussels. And after the concert, the producer took the group to a flamenco club.
Huh.
And we weren't in Spain. And yet, for the first time, Steve saw these incredible flamenco players. And what he just blew them away was their clapping.
Along with the music and the dancing.
And the dancing. Yeah. But it was a legitimate percussion instrument, played the rhythm, and he said, my God, this is an alternative to schlepping 2,000 pounds of instruments everywhere. I'm going to write a piece for this.
Using my hands.
And Steve and Russell premiered that work in the early 70s, and Russell and Steve will play it at the Bardavon on the 23rd.
Well, this is going to be an incredible night of music, September 23rd, 8 o'clock at the Bardavon. Now, Gary, you brought with you a couple of cool instruments. What are their names?
Well,
and don't tell me Jane. And
I need to give them a human name, right?
Yeah, should name everything.
Well, one instrument was made in Switzerland by a young couple, and it's called a hang, H-A-N-G. And it is sort of like a blown-up steel pan, but we call it a hand pan.
Blown-up meaning steel pan is usually facing
convex,
down.
Convex, yeah.
Yeah, and you hit it inside of the concave.
Right, right, with mallets.
Yeah, and now looking at this, I see it's upside down.
And I'm using my fingers to play. Got in early buying two of these, and I had commissioned them to make this scale, which happens to be the first tuning I used in Woodstock chimes when I started making Woodstock chimes in 79. It's an ancient Greek scale from the 7th century BC by this flute player composer named Olympus. And so I wanted that sound, so I contacted these people 35 years ago, whatever.
Wow.
It were a young couple making it. Unfortunately, about 20 years ago, they decided to retire. So, and I've gone online. These are selling for a lot of money, but there are other companies that started making them.
Oh, wow.
So they're fun. And, you know, not exactly alike, but this guy, Chris Anderson, not Nevesa Chris Anderson, but Chris Anderson, the musician, instrument builder from Kingston, New York, built this other instrument I brought, and I think he's involved in importing pans as well.
Oh, wow.
I mean, hang-style drums. They're called hand pans. But he made this instrument called the U-phone, not the iPhone.
The U-phone.
The U-phone, but it's E-U,
okay,
which is a Greek word for something. That's a Google question. And what it is vibraphone bars are like kind of Glockenspiel-style bars that are vertical, and from the middle of it are rods that are screwed into it, and you would stroke these rods so that it serves as like a bow. It activates it, and they're on resonators. And once again, I asked Chris to tune it to this Olympus scale,
okay,
which is... clean hands to play this thing, and I'll be using both of these instruments during our improvisations.
Gary Kvisted live on 98.1 KZE. Gary, that sound is very reminiscent to something I bought from Anyone Can Whistle years ago, and it was an earth bell.
Oh.
You know, that one with the hole, and you can go boom, 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 boom.
That's right. That's kind of related, yes. Right.
But yeah. That sound and the little earth bell that I have, that just reminded me of that. And what a cool instrument made in Kingston, the U-Phone.
Yeah.
Got to get one of those, too. Well, you know, if I had these things, I'd never leave home. I'd never come to work. And so that's probably why I only see you once in a while at very important events. Otherwise, you're probably working on something magnificent.
Always wanting to play, no matter where I am, right?
Well, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio, Gary. And, well, personally, it's a sad, bittersweet note, the farewell of Nexus. So maybe this will last like Kiss and be,
we'll and go be on out for there.
Yeah, 5 years of goodbye.
I have to point out that this is not the farewell for Paul Winter or Steve Reich. They continue to play and perform, and we'll all play. I'll still play with Northern Dutchess Symphony, and maybe Nexus will still do more recordings. We have like 35 recordings out, nexuspercussion.com. But it would be fun to see all of our friends and some new people at the Bardavon on Saturday the 23rd, a week from tomorrow.
And how's things in Chimeland?
Oh, well, for me,
yeah,
it's history. We sold our company 2 years ago, and so that I could sit at home and just play instruments all day, as you said.
I knew it. I knew that's what you do. Well,
so we, Dine and I had the company for 42 years, and we said, okay, this is time. A company out of the Midwest that does gifts and home decor took it over, and they're keeping it right in Shokan, yeah. And I still have my studios there, so nothing much has changed, really.
Except a few things, but
there's not enough time to get into those.
Gary Kvisted, live on 98.1 KZE. Thank you for bringing in your gear. Thanks for talking to us about the Nexus history and what to expect at this amazing event. Again, tell us quickly about Henrique.
Oh, Henrique Eisenman is a young Brazilian piano player composer. He teaches at Juilliard and at the Boston School. And he's unbelievable. And he's also a percussionist, but he's an amazing piano player. And this Brazilian style music is fantastic. He and Paul wrote a bunch of pieces. They're going to play on a concert.
Mm.
And some classic ones like Brazil we're going to do together with them.
Now, a piano, even though it has strings, it gets hit with a hammer. And it's a percussive instrument. Do you think so?
It absolutely is, even though pianists won't admit that, usually. Right, and I own 5 pianos, so 5 times 88. I count those in on my 5,000 instruments.
Well, yeah, each note is mechanically instrument.
It hits something, right.
Well, I always thought about that, and I didn't know if, purist pianists think, no way, this is a stringed instrument, but the mechanics of it gets hit with a hammer or a mallet,
right? Exactly.
Long live percussion.
Absolutely, the oldest instrument in the world. So little is known about percussion yet, and I hope to help in that, and have been trying to, but
years since 1970 something.
Well, 1953 when I was in fourth grade, 58 or whenever it was. But, I'm definitely want to find a home for these instruments where people could learn from them, a research center, they could perform on them, they can enjoy the beauty of these instruments.
I'm all for that.
There you go. Yeah. How big is your house?
Not as big as your instruments can hold, but we'll work on that.
Okay, you got it.
Maybe I'll build a new wing.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
All right.
Gary Kvisted. Gary Kvisted, thank you. And man, I can't wait. Well, I can wait because then time is flying by. But it's September 23rd at 8 o'clock, the Bardavon Theater, a farewell to Nexus. Steve Reich, Paul Winter and Enrique Eisenman, plus more, so much more. Thank you so much for being here, Gary.
Artavon.com. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
And we shall roll right along with a very brief break of very important messages, including this further info of the show.
Bardavon and Kvisted Foundation present renowned saxophonist and world music pioneer Paul Winter and legendary composer Steve Reich as special guests for the farewell tour of renowned percussion ensemble Nexus at the Bardavon, Saturday, September 23rd, 8 p.m. Nexus Farewell Tour with special guest Paul Winter, Steve Reich, plus Enrique Eisenman. Saturday, September 23rd at the Bardavon.